Welcome, everyone, to Midday Magazine for this Friday, March 29th, 2024. I have your host, James J. Mailoff, here. And, don't need the headphones. You're okay. Don't worry about it. You're fine. We have in studio with us some of our favorite people. We have Sharon Schwab with us. Sharon, good morning.
Good morning.
Or good afternoon, I should say. And thanks for being here, Sharon. And we have Mary Casey Martin with us. Mary, good to see you.
Hey. Just call me Casey.
Just Casey, yep. I appreciate both of you being here. Really appreciate everything that you do with the Wisconsin Prairie Chicken Festival. I think it's one of our cooler, fun events we have in our area. It's something we love to highlight and get a chance to do every year with you two in. And one thing I'd like to do for those that may be new to the area or maybe haven't heard of this before, kind of get into the history of the event a little bit. And if you don't mind, I will put you on the spot, Sharon, with that. I appreciate it. Sharon, can we share a little bit of the history of this great event?
Oh, sure. Well, I think Casey might have started with the cockamamie idea back in like 2006. Mm. And back in 2006, we had a very small event actually at the Hammerstrom home, which is located near Plainfield. Mm-hmm. And so we had an event all outside and a little bit of the inside where we toured the Hammerstrom home. And I can let you expound on that. And then from there, it just built. We started in 2007 through about 2012, and it just kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger. So we had events then at the Buena Vista Wildlife Area, at the Paul J. Olson Wildlife Area, at the Mead Wildlife Area. Mm. We had things out at the historic Bass. We had, oh my goodness, at one point we had, I think, like 11 different venues, and we had, I think, more than 120 people that we fit into observation blinds over the course of a weekend.
Mm. So they come from all over.
All over the world,
yeah, all over the world, literally.
Mm. We had people from China. Mm. There was about a five-year hiatus. There were personnel changes and some of the programming and personnel left the program. And so we kicked up again in 2017, and we renamed it, rebranded it as the Wisconsin Prairie Chicken Festival.
Yeah.
And we have a new website. It's www.wisprairiechickens.com. .org.
Ah, okay.
So the WIS mm-hmm. is important, and chickens plural mm-hmm. .org. And that new site will give people an overview on the schedule. It'll mm-hmm. give them a way to interact via an email. There's a Facebook link. And so a lot of good news.
And I'm glad you brought up the Facebook page. There's also the Facebook page for people to keep in mind, too, that like and subscribe to and keep up to date on everything you guys are doing over there. Thank you for the history lesson. I loved hearing that, and I love going down memory lane with you guys. Mm-hmm. Why the prairie chicken? What was it about the prairie chicken that we wanted to do this for the prairie chicken?
Well, prairie chickens have a storied history in the state of Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. They used to be, historically, only in the southern third part of the state of Wisconsin, where we had a lot of prairie. Mm-hmm. Of course, a lot of land use changes have occurred. And when the state of Wisconsin was logged back in the 1800s, we had wide open spaces almost everywhere. Mm. At one point, there were prairie chickens in every single county of Wisconsin.
Wow.
But like a lot of species, they were hunted to near extinction. Mm. And hunting in Wisconsin was ceased in 1955. However, there still was a stronghold left in central Wisconsin where we had a lot of open areas. So in about five different counties, Marathon, Wood, Clark, Portage, and Adams were really the strongholds. And those still exist today, but only really in parts of Wood and Portage County at the three main wildlife areas, Paul Olson, Buena Vista, and Loyola. Mm. These are the only places that prairie chickens still exist in the state. They were listed as a threatened species in 1979, so they're state threatened. Oh. And there's been enormous efforts for the last 80 years, really, to keep them here and to avoid extirpation or local extinction from the state.
And that was the Hammerstrom link. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They dedicated really their lives to a lot of different birds, but in particular, the Timpanoucas cupidopinnatus. Mm. And we are the greater prairie chicken here in Wisconsin. There are lesser birds, lesser chickens, and they are in like New Mexico and Western states. Hmm. So Frederick and Fran Hammerstrom, and then Fran went on to write a number of books. So she became renowned as an author as well. Mm-hmm. They've passed many years ago, but we still honor them at the festival. Mm-hmm. We bring in a nature writer every year a nature writer and author. And this year it's going to be Dr. George Archibald, who is a longtime friend of theirs. And he was one of the co-founders of the International Crane Foundation. So it's really, the whole festival focuses on other birds as well as the prairie chicken.
Yeah, the prairie chicken kind of serves as what's known as an umbrella species or a keystone species, because if you can retain the kind of the one that's the bird that's kind of at the, or the species at the top of the chain, so to speak, in terms of habitat needs, because they're the most specific, then all the other grassland species underneath them can also survive. So if they're there, we know that a lot of other important species are also there.
Yeah. Oh, go ahead.
We'll also have at the festival on Saturday, April 13th in the morning, we'll have an oversized prairie chicken. We call him Boomin' Bob, and he's a costumed character that the children and the adults love to see appear once a year during the festival. Great photo ops and fun activities. So there'll be children's activities, there'll be Boomin' Bob, there's vendors, there's artists, there's wildlife photography.
You know,
and
Casey,
speakers.
Let's do this in order for people. Okay. Let's go ahead and give them the details how this all event this starts and where it wraps up and everything. Let's start right. When does the event begin? I imagine around noon or something like. No,
well, no,
it's an early event. It's an early event.
We'll talk about the precursor to the early morning, and that is on Monday, April the 8th. Macmillan Library has been a great sponsor of this event this year, and they're going to offer a movie, a series of movies at 1:30 and 6 p.m., and it's entitled Carbon Cowboys, and I'll let Casey talk about that.
Well, it's again, the festival over time has also implemented a great partnership with the Farmers of Mill Creek out in Portage County, and they are have actually adopted the Paul J. Olson management of that facility. But the festival gives an opportunity to talk about different farming alternatives. And that's what this series of shorts is going to offer up to people, Carbon Cowboys.
They've joined us on the air here before. They're a great organization, great group of people doing some really vital work over there. And that's cool to hear that they're a part of this. That makes sense that they would be, but I didn't hear that part. That's great.
Yeah.
That's really good.
Again, the habitat is part of the message that we try and offer to people. But there's ways we can partner together to make it all work for everyone.
Yeah. And I'm so glad that this came up, too. And you highlighting this, Sharon, because when it comes to an endangered species, I think we focus on that animal in particular, as we probably should. But it's so important to remember that that animal is part of a chain. And if that animal is out, then it affects the whole chain, which we are a part of, people. I'll just remind everybody
right.
out there. So, you know, keeping these animals alive is a good feeling. It feels good. I don't want to say to any of my when I have grandkids one day, I don't want to have to say to them, hey, there was this animal called the prairie chicken we used to have. We don't have anymore. I don't want to have that conversation with my grandkids.
And the reason we call our character, our oversized prairie chicken, Boomin' Bob, I'll let Sharon speak to that naming.
Well, that gets to our other events. If you're hardy enough and you're willing to meet us at 4 o'clock in the morning, you come with all your gear and your waterproof boots and your flashlight and get warm, and please don't drink coffee, because we take you out into a prairie chicken blind about 4 o'clock in the morning. You have to be there before sunrise, and you will have the experience of seeing the male prairie chickens boom. So they make this guttural, low volume sound that you can hear for over a mile, kind of like it's really low. And then they flutter, they flap, they pound their feet. They have these air sacs on their side of their head that are orange, and they blow up. And then they have these feathers on the top of their head called pinnae, and those become erect. And these guys are just nuts. And they dance for hours just to attract, you know, these females who nonchalantly make their way through the booming grounds and look them over and go, I don't think so.
It's a story of my life.
But the boys dance their hearts out.
They do.
To win a heart.
Yeah.
And it's really, It's heartwarming mm-hmm. to see them try so very hard. And it's just such a colorful, extravagant display.
And how often in life do you have a chance to experience these things in real time and be in the moment of them? You know, I know nowadays you can catch so many things online. There's a huge difference of all of your senses taking in a moment and just seeing something online. There's a gigantic difference of that.
And regionally, you know, not a lot happens in early April.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
we're not against a lot of competition for things to do.
Yeah.
So that calendar date is usually around that early, like this year it's April 8th through the 14th. It varies a little, but typically it's that time period in April.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can't make it this year, you can come next year.
It's a good thing to plan ahead for, yeah.
Yeah.
There will be vendors down there as well?
So, yeah. So we have different sites to go into observation blinds. We have sites available. Well, there's no sites available now, but mm-hmm. you can always email, where we have our email site as well, to see if there's any spots, because sometimes people cancel. They get the information. They're like, on second thought, I don't want to do it.
Well, as Casey said, maybe for next year, if you can't this year.
So we have sites at the Buena Vista Wildlife Area in Portage County and at the Paul J. Olson Wildlife Area. Mm. But the festival events itself, the breakfast on Saturday, April 13th, will be held at the Aaron Event Barn. That's where our vendors will be. That's where our presenters will be. Mm. And then in the afternoon, Dr. Archibald will be here at McMillan Library again on April the 13th.
Mm-hmm. A big thank you to McMillan Library working with them.
Huge.
We love our friends over at McMillan.
Yeah.
Dr. Archibald for doing this too.
Oh,
you mentioned he was a friend of theirs?
Lifetime friend. Mm. When Fran and Frederick were recognized and got the Good Egg Award, he was also present at that.
That's cool.
See them receive it.
And he's an amazing speaker. He's like the Pied Piper. People will just kind of follow
him
everywhere.
His collection of stories is called My Life with Cranes.
Hmm.
So as I mentioned, the Hammerstrom Fund for Writing is at Encourage Foundation.
Mm-hmm.
And we started that the year that Fran passed. And it grew to $10,000. So now we use the dividend funds from that annual fund to bring in a wildlife nature person,
mm-hmm.
author.
That's really cool. That's a great way to do that, too.
Hmm. Well, we want to encourage more writing about, about the concerns we all have mm-hmm. about the environment.
I forgot to mention that we also have a bus tour that morning. That is completely booked, but we have two wonderful wildlife biologists, Stan Skutek, retired from the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, and Susan Voss, who works over at Fort McCoy. Excellent grassland biologists who will lead that birding tour.
Mm. It gives you such great, it's one thing to have a good tour guide. It's another to have one that's so well-informed and really knows their stuff like that.
Well, and Dan O'Connell from Portage County could not be with us today, but he and Sharon are the co-facilitators of all of this craziness.
A big thank you to Dan. Hopefully next time he can join us. And then thank you to all of you for doing this and the work that you're doing on this. It's greatly appreciated, and I know the birds really appreciate it. We're speaking with Casey Martin and Sharon Schwab about the Wisconsin Prairie Chicken Festival 2024 and wanted to be sure to mention the speakers that are going to be a part of this event, ladies.
Yeah, thank you very much. So we've got a really nice setup for for that day. We have one of the things that people might really enjoy is Amber Eschenbach is bringing a live kestrel.
Ooh.
Kestrel is like, other people might know it as a sparrowhawk.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, they're really dependent on grassland. So she's going to bring along a live kestrel and give a presentation on that. Ashley Steinke will be there from the Audubon Society. Lisa Kardash from the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. Dan O'Connell and Tracy Arnold from Portage County will speak about their youth education program.
Hmm.
Heather Dowdery may be speaking from Pheasants Forever about programs that are available to farmers to sign up for from some of their private lands.
Hmm.
And then we'll have a representative from probably John Aaron from the Farmers of Mill Creek.
Hmm.
And I think that's everybody.
Very
cool. Hopefully I didn't miss anybody.
It's a great group of people and a lot of great information and very good speakers, by the way. All these individuals are very charismatic and do a really nice job with these speeches.
And Lisa will talk about kind of an update on what the prairie chicken population is and what the status is right now.
That's really good information. That's great.
We also have some wonderful vendors. I don't know if you want to hear about those.
Yeah, definitely.
So we have not only in addition to vendors, we have some educational exhibitions there. We have the Farmers of Mill Creek Council, the Ice Age Trail Alliance, the Nature Conservancy, North Central Conservancy Trust, Pheasants Forever. And then we have some vendors, Heather Baker from HB Studio. We have Deb Bilker, she has a children's book, Joe Reederer, who's also on our planning committee and is heading up the website this year, does some amazing photography, and he'll have his prints and his cards. And Sue Tupper, who did a biography of Fred and Fran Hammerstrom.
Mm-hmm. And Bird City.
I apologize.
Yeah, very Sarah cool.
Kubischek is also on our committee and has just done a lot of things. We're also going to have a silent auction.
Oh, very nice.
We did that last year as well, and really reasonably priced starting bids, and hopefully they exceed and go overboard. But it's another way for people to get some items and a variety of items.
Absolutely.
Food as well as art as well as functional things and nature-related things.
Oh, we should mention the food. We're going to have a great breakfast on Saturday, and that's being done by Kathy Havitz with the Chatterbox Cafe, who does a nice job for us.
Yeah, well, we shout out to Chatterbox. They do a lot of great work in this community.
Great catering.
And along with all of this, this event doesn't happen without some great sponsors, and I do want to let those sponsors know I put the ladies on the spot here when I bring in this up, but we do want to thank them.
Okay, so we've got Clean Green Action, Bird City. We have the Hammerstrom Fund for Writing within the Encourage Foundation, Portage County Planning and Zoning, the Farmers of Mill Creek Council, WFHR, thank you very much, Pheasants Forever, Dane County Conservation League, and the Wisconsin Rapids Convention and Visitors Bureau. And I hope I didn't forget anybody.
All great people, great individuals, and all people that really believe in this and believe in this cause and believe in how important this is. And I'd like to just take a note, too, I'm a transplant. I've been in this state for about 20-some years, and my children were born here and everything. And if there's one thing I learned about Wisconsinites are proud of being from Wisconsin. Take a lot of pride in being Wisconsinites, and I love that, and I think that's great. One of the ways they show your pride, and Wisconsinites do, is the history of your state, the animals in your state, the nature in your state, enjoying that and supporting it and keeping it around for other generations. That's what this event is all doing, is keeping these things around for future generations, preserving this land, preserving these animals, and helping so much of this to happen. I would think if you're a proud Wisconsinite, you want to be a part of this event. You want to be involved in this and enjoy this great event. And Casey, you had a really nice way to kind of wrap things up. I thought that was very noteworthy, so I'm going to let you do that.
Well, one of the, after Fran, and Frederick had passed earlier, but when Fran died in the late 90s, her daughter, Elva Paulson, Hammerstrom Paulson, is also a renowned nature and wildlife artist out in Oregon. But she compiled reminiscent stories from various people that knew the Hammerstroms over the decades, over their lives, and either interacted with them in a birding sense or an ecological sense. So at the back of the book, the collection of stories is called The Hammerstrom Stories, Recollections of the Life of Hammy and Fran Hammerstrom. I found a 1947 paper that Frederick had written talking about water pollution, conservation's most urgent problem. So in 1947, he wrote, "Life cannot exist without water. All plants and animals, including man himself, depend upon water. Water made our industrial system possible. Water is used in the processes of manufacture and as a means of carrying off industrial wastes. An important part of our food supply comes directly from oceans, rivers, and lakes. Water holds for us tremendous aesthetic, social, and recreational values." So, 1947, a friend of mine, Dan Egan, wrote a whole book about water on the Great Lakes. recently, like in the last couple of years. So
to show how long this has been a topic, you know,
and how future thinking they were.
Yes, yeah.
And then the other paper was done by both Frederick and Fran in 1957, Ecological Patterning as a Tool in Wildlife Management. Wildlife management generally means the management of habitat as much as the management of the animals themselves. Mm. Habitat management means without which wildlife cannot live. It happens sometimes that existing land management quite inadvertently produces both commercial crops, whether measured in bushels, pounds, or board feet, and excellent crops of wildlife too. So again, they knew the importance. Well, and they also studied under
Aldo Leopold.
Leopold. Yeah, yeah. Mm. They were Leopold students, and Fran was the only female student of his.
That's interesting.
Yes. Huh. So again, more of our historical reflection.
Well, in talking about how long this has been a topic, how long this has been important to us in this area, in the state. Thank you so much for that. That was really good.
Well, Fran and Hammy used to lure people up to their farm property in Plainfield. And before they take them out birding, or they take them out birding and bring them back, and they crack eggs. Mm. They always served up a great breakfast. It was one of the ways that they got people personally invested.
That's really cool. As we're wrapping up, ladies, let's tell people again when the event is beginning and where the event is going to be taking place.
Well, it officially begins with the kickoff at McMillan Library on April 8th. Observation blinds are occurring between the 12th and the 14th, but the main event is on April the 13th, beginning at 4 o'clock in the morning with the observation blinds, 6 o'clock in the morning in the bus. But if you're just coming for breakfast and all the morning speakers, et cetera, et cetera, you can come about 8 o'clock and breakfast will be beginning. And then be sure to catch Dr. George Archibald in the afternoon at 3:30.
And the silent auction ends at 10:30 at the event barn that morning.
Mm-hmm. So keep in mind, you can find out more about this event and follow along with it throughout the year on their Facebook page. Just type in your search bar, WI Prairie Chicken Festival, WI Prairie Chicken Festival, and their new website you want to check out as well, wisprairiechickens.org. And that's WIS with a plural chickens in there. So wisprairiechickens.org. Be sure to check that out. And we're looking forward to talking with you guys again already. Looking forward to this event. Thank you to you, to the sponsors, to all the volunteers, and everybody that helps make this event happen year in and year out. We appreciate you. Thank you for the time, and thank you both.
Thanks, James.
Have a great time at the event. Enjoy yourselves.
Thank you.
Well, Lamar Midday Magazine coming up for you right here on WFHR, locally grown radio.